Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go in our Bibles to the book of Habakkuk. All right. I know you spend a lot of time there, so your Bible will just fall open there. Habakkuk chapter 2. Some of you said, I didn't even know it was a book in the Bible. Well, it is. Go to the concordance and hunt for it. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 2. And you know, we're in a series. I don't know if you know that or not, but I'll tell you. We're in a series on receiving from God. And I was really just a mini series. There's only three teachings, or tonight will be the third teaching, and that's going to be it for now. But we talked about, you know, receiving with your heart. We talked about guarding your heart or keeping your heart. But tonight, I want to talk about when manifestation tarries. When manifestation tarries. Because that's what we're after, right? Manifestation. Amen. You know, if it doesn't bring the substance, what's the point in it? Right? I mean, if what we're believing for never manifests, what's the use of ever believing for it? I believe I'm going to heaven. Well, at least two or three of us. Joe just got saved. Pastor Jerry, been in the ministry all these years, just got saved. So I don't know about Pastor Chuck. I hope he gets saved before the night's over. But I believe I'm going to heaven. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, it's not manifested yet. But it's going to. Amen. It's just a sure thing. I don't know where that's going to be through the rapture of the church, which I believe it probably will be, you know. I've been believing that the rapture of the church has been, you know, coming since I started thinking it was coming in the 1970s, as far as ever a Christian, because I knew about it. But I didn't think we'd ever make it through the 80s, and here we are, you know, we're almost in the 90s, aren't we? No, excuse me. It's 2020, isn't it? Wow. Amen. So the Lord's coming back. Amen. Amen. When's he coming? Well, he said, in a time you expect not. Amen. When the world's not expecting it, really. The church can be expecting it, but, you know, in a time that the world thinks not. Amen. Amen. All right, go to Habakkuk chapter 2. Let's just begin with verse 1. When manifestation tarries, Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch, I will set me upon the tower, I will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer him when I'm reproved or corrected. And the Lord answered me, and he said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that reads it. Hallelujah. I mean, you need to read it. The vision is for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. See, you know, you got to speak for it till it's speaking itself. You understand that? You know, it may not be speaking yet, but you speak for it. You know what I'm saying? Just like the thing, you know, I was believing God for healing for last week I told you about. I had to talk for it because it wasn't talking itself, but now it's talking. Hallelujah. It can speak on its own now because I'm healed. But last week, it hadn't manifested. And so I had to talk for it, and so I did. Hallelujah. Verse 3, now, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Everybody say, wait for it. Because it will surely come. You should have shouted over that. Amen. It will not tarry. Now, what does it mean? He says, though it tarry, and then he says, it will not tarry. Well, what it means is, though it tarry, when he says it will not tarry, that means it's not going to tarry forever. It's coming. It's coming. Behold, verse 4, his soul which is lifted up in him, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just, that's you and I, right, shall live by faith. What did he say? He said, well, just keep living by faith. If the vision tarries or the manifestation tarries, we're just to keep living by faith. We're to be faith people. Amen? Amen? You say, well, how long? Well, you know, listen, one of the things we need to learn is we need to understand that we need to take turn the clock off. Come on, are you with me now? In other words, you know, don't put your manifestation on a clock. You know, I heard a minister say this years ago. he said when he was young in the Lord, you know, he said, you know, he began to hear about faith and things about faith. And so he just decided, you know, that he was going to believe God for some things, you know. And of course, you know, how many know sometimes when you're young, you got more zeal than you got sense. But thank God for the zeal. Hallelujah. Are you with me now? I'll take people with no zeal. I'll take people with a lot of zeal and no sense. I can teach them sense. I can't teach them zeal. You know what I'm saying? So give me zealous people and I'll teach them some sense. And hopefully they'll keep their zeal. Amen. But he said, you know, he said him and his wife began to believe God for, you know, different things, you know, car and clothes and different things. And, you know, to the carnal-minded Christian, that sounds selfish. But the thing of it is, how many know you all wore clothes in here today? Thank you, Jesus. So you're going to need them, right? I'm assuming you either drove a vehicle here or you rode in one. I assume that's the way you're leaving, right? I mean, you know, we do have a case of somebody maybe comes here, they walk or they take the bus or on a Sunday morning, you know. They might walk here or they might take the bus. But, you know, most of us have our own wheels, our own transportation, because without it, life's kind of hard to live right now, right? I mean, we're not set up, you know, like in our city, like some cities are, where you can just, you know, some people, I guess, in town, they live off the transit system, you know, and all that. But it only goes so many places, right? And so, you know, it's not going to take you to grandma's. So you're going to need a vehicle. So even though, you know, some Christians would say it'd be selfish to believe for natural things, but you need natural things. Amen? And if God's promised to meet your needs, I would consider living a house a need. I would consider clothes a need. I would consider a car, a vehicle a need. So I would believe God would meet that need. Hallelujah. Maybe I'm simple, but I'm not simple-minded. Amen. Well, I had to make you say amen on that. But help me understand that my point, this minister was believing for all these things, and he really was believing God, and he said, now we're believing for it by such and such a date, such and such a time. And he said, you know, as that time got closer, we got more excited. He said the day arrived. None of it had shown up yet, but he said we were still excited, you know, and we're watching the clock, you know, and we're expecting a phone call anytime or the manifestation to show up anytime. Said him and his wife were at home, you know, and they're watching the clock and it's 5 minutes till midnight. And he said, we're still excited because we still got 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden the clock struck midnight, then one after, and their feathers fell. And he said, you know, he said it really deflated them. But, you know, he didn't give up on God or anything like that. But he said, you know, he said, one day I was talking to God and said, God, I don't understand this. I thought I knew about faith. He said, I must not know about faith. And the Lord said, no, you know about faith. He said, but you let something on the wall steal your faith. A mechanism with springs, steal your faith. Because you're the one that said, you know, at this time. Not God didn't say that. You said that. Manifestation, don't put it on a clock. Just keep believing. The just shall live by faith. Right. Not just practice faith. Live that way. Right. So, you know, if it happens today, fine. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I like instant manifestations. You know, if I'm believing for something and I'm praying for something, you know, I want to look out. If I'm believing for a vehicle and I pray, I want to look out in the drive after I get done praying and there it sits. I'm thinking, man, look, it's even got the same color leather I wanted. Hallelujah. But anybody got any clue that most of the time that's not the way it happens, right? Most of the time there's a period of time between when you said amen and when you have it. And what you do in that time will determine whether you actually do eventually have the manifestation. And so that's what we're going to talk about when manifestation tarries, because here's what I've learned. You know, the Bible says this, the King James, I like the King James in this particularly, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And I've learned this in life. Troubles, storms, difficulties, tribulations, they're not really what discourages people. What discourages people is when they lose their vision. Because if you keep your vision, you can go through all kinds of storms and troubles and difficulties, and you still got zeal, you still got a smile on your face, you're still believing God. But if you let your vision go, the least little bit of trouble can cause you to get discouraged. Am I the only one that has experienced that? And I realize, you know, you think sometimes, well, if this wasn't going on in my life, you know, then I'd be happy. But here's what I've learned. That's not true. What happened was you lost your vision. If you keep your vision, if you keep your focus on the manifestation, there's no amount of trouble that can, that can take your joy away from you. I mean, if anybody should teach us that, it ought to be the Apostle Paul. I mean, think about it. In Philippians, he was in prison. He was in jail. And jails in those days were not someplace you'd want to be. You know, I remember the first mission trip I went on, very first time I got over into a foreign country, when I got over this third world country, the missionary, one of the first things he said, there's two places you do not want to go while you're here. And he said, one of them is the hospital. You don't want to go to our hospitals. The second thing is you don't want to go to our jails. Well, I discovered that not by getting thrown in jail, but we went one time and went and preached in the prison there, the national prison, and I found out you don't want to be in this place. This is not a good place. There are all kinds of crazy people in this place. There are all kinds of murderers in this place, and they just thrown in here and they run loose. I mean, some of them have weapons in the prison. They use it on one another. They know not to use it on the guards because the guards will kill them. But, you know, I mean, they'll all gang up and they'll just, you're gone if you do that. But you can use it on one another. And I was foolish enough to take my wife in there with me. I asked the guys, I said, this doesn't, you know, should my wife be going in? Oh, the brothers will protect her. I thought, you know, after I got in there, I thought, I'm the brother that's supposed to protect her. I thought, I'm never doing this again. Next time I go, she's not going in. It was wild. But, you know, Paul was in one of those prisons, and yet the book of Philippians is just full of joy. Amen. You know, remember what he said in Acts? He said, the Holy Spirit shows me. What's he showing you, Paul? He's showing you great meetings, glory, healings, anointing, I mean, prosperity. It's all going to be flowing when you get to Jerusalem. No, he said, the Holy Spirit shows me that at Jerusalem, bonds and afflictions abide me. Now, how many would immediately reject that prophecy? What if I call you? Because you know, what if I called you up on Sunday? I got a word for you. Trouble's coming. Oh, I guarantee you won't go there and say, "I want the ministry time CD." You won't ever listen to it again. It's like I reject that in Jesus' name. But he said, "The Holy Spirit shows me that tribulation, you know, and afflictions and bonds await me." And he said, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." Hallelujah. And so Paul had joy. Amen? And so, you know, see what happened? See, Paul didn't, even though trouble did come to Paul, Paul didn't lose his vision. He didn't lose his expectation. Even now, even when he's in jail and, you know, when he's writing to the church at Philippi, he said, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I know I'm coming out of here. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's go over there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're just getting started here, but I hope you get this tonight, that manifestation, when it tarries, what do? Well, we do what Habakkuk said. We live by faith. We live by faith. Though it tarry, wait for it. Now, what do you mean wait for? Well, you wait in faith. You wait expecting. You know, you wake up every day thinking this could be the day that manifestation comes. Hallelujah. And because one day it is going to come. If that's your approach, that's your attitude, one day manifestation is going to come to you and you're going to be able to not just, you know, speak for it, it'll speak itself. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You know, Dr. Summerall, how many remember Dr. Lester Summerall? You know, the Lord told him, when you read his life story, he said the Lord told him to go to the Philippines. Now, you know, he was just at home. He pastored a church, and he was at home, and The Lord spoke to him. It was one evening, and his wife's there doing dishes or something. And the Lord spoke to him, said, "I want you to go to the Philippines." So he goes and tells his wife, "We're going to the Philippines. Pack the stuff." And I mean, he's getting ready to leave like immediately. I mean, it was just a matter of a few days. He left and went to the Philippines because the Lord told him to go over to the Philippines. And the Lord blessed him with this. It was like an airplane hangar, big airplane hangar. And he was putting it up over in the Philippines. And, I mean, the thing was big enough to seat 5,000 people. That's how big it was. And, because he didn't have anybody. He just went over there as an unknown missionary, And so he said, but the Lord told him, showed him what was coming. He had vision, but no manifestation yet, So he's speaking for him. But he said, the Lord told him, what was going to happen and all, and how God was going to move in the country. And so, people would come by and make fun of him. And I think one of them, if I remember right, one Christian bookstore owner came by and said, "What are you doing? What are you building here?" And he told him, and he kind of laughed at him. And Brother Summerall said, "I prophesied to you by such and such a date, you won't have any Bibles left in your bookstore." Because, revival is going to break out and people are going to want Bibles. And the guy laughed at him. Well, in the meantime, God knows more than we know. In the meantime, he's doing this. And he said, "I'm driving down the road, there in Manila." And he said, "I hear this news broadcast, and there's this young girl that they've arrested, and they put her in the Bilibid, I think that's how you say it, prison. And they're in Manila, and she's demon-possessed. Her name was Clarita Villanueva. And she's demon-possessed, and, she would just, in the cell, just start fighting something, and they would see teeth marks come on her body, and saliva, and it was like they couldn't see anything, but she was fighting things. And, of course, they tried to help her, and then she'd attack them, and they'd get hurt. Matter of fact, there's one or two got killed. And so they don't know what to do with her, And so Dr. Summerall is listening to this, and they have, the news media is there, and they can hear her screaming. You can hear her screaming when she's being attacked on the radio. And he hears that, and the Lord says to him, "I want you to go down there and cast that devil out of her." And he's thinking, "Not me." And the Lord said, "No, I want you to do it." So he fasted for a day, and he went down there. He asked the mayor, can I go in there and pray for this young lady? And, of course, go ahead. We can't do anything with her. And when he went in there, she spoke to him in English. Now, she couldn't speak any English after she got delivered, but that demon can speak any language. And she just spoke to him in English, but he cast that devil out of her, and she got delivered. Well, the mayor was so happy. He was so thrilled. He said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want to use the city park to have a revival meeting." He said, "You can have it." And when he did, thousands of people got saved. That hangar got filled up. The church is still there. His nephew pastors it. And he went down to the Bible bookstore and said, "You got any Bibles left?" The guy said, "Not a one." Hallelujah. You see, but before manifestation comes, you have to say it. But when it comes, it can talk itself. Amen. But there's sometimes hindrances, and we need to understand that. We need to not get discouraged because things don't happen overnight. Let's go to Thessalonians chapter 1. You're probably already there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Got it? Verse 18. "Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." Now, you think, maybe the devil could hinder you, or maybe he could hinder me, but not the Apostle Paul. I mean, if he can hinder the Apostle Paul, how many believe he could probably hinder you? I said, if he could hinder the Apostle Paul, how many believe he could probably hinder you? Well, let me just say this to you. The word hinder and stop's two different things. Paul said he hindered us. He didn't say he stopped us. You see, he can't stop the manifestation. He might hinder it, but he can't stop it. You know what? Only you can stop it. You're the only one that can stop it. If you're believing God for something out of his word, you are the only one that can stop it. People want to blame the devil. Well, the devil, he gets involved, but he can only sometimes, not even all the time, but he only can sometimes slow the process down. He can throw hindrances. He can throw roadblocks. But praise God, if you keep your faith out there, he can't stop it. See, that's what Peter said. You know, remember he said, your adversary? Didn't he say that? Now, who's your adversary? My neighbor that throws beer cans in my yard. No, he's not your adversary. He may be your irritant, but he's not your adversary. All right? Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he... Come on. What does may imply? Maybe he can't. May means permission. You know, now, you know, if I go to your house, you know, and I'm there, and I want, you know, let's just say I want a Gatorade, and I know you have a Gatorade. You know, I want to ask you, may I have a Gatorade? Now, if I'm at Pastor Jerry's house, I'm just going to get it. Because that's the way he does when he's at my house. He eats everything I have. You know, we were having, let me tell you about him a little bit, all right? We were having like a meeting, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And so, you know, he lives a good ways away. And so he stayed at our house during the meeting. And, you know, he went home. He went to our house after service. And the time I got there, I saw all kinds of candy wrappers around his chair where he's sitting. He didn't even ask. He just got my stuff. And so I always put the bad stuff out when he's there. You know, the stuff we've had for months. I'll tell Phyllis, get the old stuff out so he'll eat that while we're, you know. But have you know, generally, we're going to ask, right? I'm going to say, may I? What does that mean? That means I got to have permission. See, if the devil's seeking whom he may devour, that doesn't mean he's just at random devouring everybody he chooses. He's only those and only that give him permission. We say, I would never give him permission, Pastor. Well, see, we do by our unbelief, our words, our actions, our non-actions. We give him authority. We may not mean to, but we do. When we choose to believe something besides the Word of God, we give the devil access. Amen. Hallelujah. Selah, think about that. And so but I wanted to say this, he's your opponent. What's an opponent? An opponent is someone that tries to keep you from scoring, right? Right? That's what an opponent is. I like this. We won't go there, but in 1 Corinthians 16:9, Paul said, there's a great effectual door open to me, and there are many, and there are many adversaries. So the devil's going to oppose that. Now let's go to Daniel chapter 10. We'll look over here, and I want to show you something out of the book of Daniel. So it's important that we, when manifestation tarries, we don't just, you know, give up, lose heart, and say, well, it's not happening. You know, somebody said this one time, I thought that's good. They said, we spend more time waiting than we do receiving, so we need to learn to be good waiters. You know, and I'm not preaching to you that everything that you believe God for, you're going to have to wait. I don't believe that's the case, but there are things you will wait on. I've waited on things. I've waited on healings. You know, I don't blame God. I never question whether God's the problem. Because if God is the problem, Jason, there is no answer. If he's the problem, we're in trouble. So I never question that God is slow or God's withholding. I realize we got an adversary. We got an opponent, and that, you know, could it be that maybe I'm not perfect in using my faith yet? Could that be? But I have learned this. If I just keep doing it, if I just keep trying, if I just keep using my faith, I'm going to get there. Amen. I'm going to get there. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like I heard one lady say one time, you know, she said, we believed 5 years for a house without borrowing for it. We believed for 5 years. And she said, people said, you believed for 5 years? It took you that long? She said, well, beats paying for it for 30. Isn't that true? I thought 5 years. I thought, that was fast. Well, that's what I thought. But anyway, you know, some people, you know, in their super-duper spirituality that have never gotten out of the boat, they can... How many know that? How many know that when Peter got out of the boat and he sunk, when he got back in, all the disciples told him what he did wrong? Man, you should have never looked. They didn't even get out. It's like a friend of mine says in the ministry, I've got an evangelist friend. He said, I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat sitter. Amen. Hallelujah. I agree with that. I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat sitter. At least Peter got out. Right? And did you notice when Jesus really went to do something big, Peter got to go with him. Peter, James, and John. You notice he didn't take Thomas. Could you imagine what Thomas would have said if Jesus would have taken, you know, that little that man's little daughter that died, you know, was it Jairus? And he went into their house, you know. And could you imagine Thomas there? Well, Jesus, he says, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Thomas would have said, I'll believe it when I see it. You don't want that guy in the room. You know, that's why, you see, have you ever read the Bible where there's times where Jesus went to pray for somebody and he let them out of town? You know why he did that? To get them out of that unbelief. And that's the reason why he would tell them, don't go back in there and tell anybody. See, some other people, he said, go tell the great things the Lord. Remember the madman of Gadara? He said, go tell the great things the Lord's done for you. But there were people, he said, don't go back into that town and tell them anything. Why? Because they'll talk you out of it. Remember the guy that was blind outside the temple and Jesus healed him, and the religious people called him in and said, all right, who healed you? This might have been the man. I think I'm getting things. Well, the other, I'm getting two stories mixed up, but they're both good, all right? They're both Bible stories. I'm thinking about the man at the pool of Bethesda, and I'm thinking about the blind man, you know, that was born blind. Jesus healed him, you know, and they got on to him. You know, they called him in and said, who was it healed you? I don't know who it was, you know. And they find out it was Jesus, you know. And they say, well, he healed you on the wrong day. Well, that's religion for you. He healed you on the wrong day. You know, churches will fight because you're having church on the wrong day. I really want to have our main service, you know, we have Sunday morning service at 10:30. I want to have it so bad on Saturday at 5:30. But I just lost about two-thirds of you, and there's not many here tonight because it's Wednesday. What's going to happen when everybody's here? It's like, you can't do that. I didn't say I was going to do it. I just said, I don't know, I just like that. Maybe I'll have church by myself 5:30. You come if you want, and then still be here. But see, what I'm saying is we get these religious mindsets, you know. Well, he healed on the wrong day. Well, what's the right day to heal on? Jesus told him, said, man, if your donkey fell in a ditch, you'd get it out on Sunday, right? And so this young man, I mean, he gets healed, you know, and they call him in, and he tells them, you know, I was born blind, you know. And they said, well, we know Moses of God. This man's not a God. He said, well, that's something. How could a sinner open the eyes of a blind man? They just say, shut up. You don't try to teach us. They needed his teaching. And so, you know, they call his parents and said, now, is this your son? Yeah. He says he was born blind. And now he sees. How did this happen? They said, well, I don't know. You ask him. He's of age. And they ask him again, how did it happen? He said, I've already told you. They kicked him out of church for getting healed. I read a book by a guy one time. He belonged to this certain church, and his daughter got healed of a club foot, and they kicked him out of church. You know, she had one foot to turn sideways, I think is what it was, and it got healed straight. And they said, well, the devil did it and kicked him out of the church. He wrote a book, Kicked Out of the Kingdom. Kicked out of the kingdom because somebody got healed. Well, that's the devil for you, isn't it? Now, I don't know how he got off on all that, but you get something out of that? Daniel chapter 10, you find it? Look with me at verse 1. Excuse me, let's just go to verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither flesh nor wine came in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So he's seeking God here, and he's been seeking God for 3 weeks. Now look at verse, same chapter, verse 12, and we'll skip through this. In the midst of this, from verse 3 on down to verse 12, an angel appears to him and shows up and starts talking to him. And in verse 12, the angel said this to Daniel. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I'm come for your word. So when did the angel start to come? The first day. How long did Daniel stay with this? 3 weeks. Now notice what this angel said, verse 13. But the prince, this is talking about a demonic prince, of the kingdom of Persia withstood me one, the King James says 1 and 20 days or 21 days. Now how many weeks is 21 days? How many weeks did Daniel stay with this? Isn't that interesting? See? Notice what he said, verse 13. For the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So Daniel starts to seek God over something, and the manifestation doesn't come. But yet the angel, for 3 weeks, but the angel says, when he does show up, he said, I heard you, I came, I was sent the first day. The first day you prayed, I was sent. He said, but I got into warfare, and it took me 3 weeks to get here. How long did Daniel stick with this thing? 3 weeks. Come on, are you getting it yet, or do we need some more instruction here, class? Are you getting it? How long did Daniel stay with it? He stayed with it till the manifestation came. What if he'd have quit at 2 weeks? That angel would have went back to heaven without the manifestation. He'd have taken it with him back to heaven. Are you following me now? See, but he stayed with it until it manifested. He didn't let go of his faith. He didn't quit seeking God until it showed up. Yet, it wasn't God withholding, was it? Because the angel said, I was sent the first day. God sent me the first day with your answer. The first day you started seeking God, the first day you started inquiring, the first day you started asking, I was sent that day. But in the midst of that, I got in a warfare in the heavenlies, and it took me 3 weeks to get here. Why? Well, that devil didn't want Daniel getting that manifestation. Your adversary, the devil, your opponent, how many know he's going to try to keep you from scoring? I mean, you ever watch sports? You may have a football game. You have an opponent over here. What's their job? The job is to try to keep you out of the end zone. Try to keep you from scoring. That's what the whole... See, Paul said, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but we wrestle with principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and wicked spirits in the heavenly places. Well, how do we wrestle with them? We wrestle with them in the arena of faith. By just not turning loose of our faith, we are doing warfare that way. Amen. And so Daniel stuck with, I thought that was pretty interesting that he stayed with it the whole time. Thank God. Thank God. See, once again, don't put the manifestation on a clock. Don't put it on a clock where, you know, if it doesn't come in a certain time, then I give up. You don't know what's going on. Amen. You know, in the area of finances, I learned this from another minister years ago. I learned this, that sometimes that when it comes to finances, it takes a little time because God uses people. Think about it. God's not counterfeiting money. He doesn't have some kind of plates up in heaven. And they roll off, you know, a few bucks. How many know he's not breaking the law, right? See, everything, it's like the Lord told Brother Hagin, he said, everything you need is here on the earth. It's not in heaven, it's here on the earth, you know. It's here, it's down here, I put it down here. And so God will deal with people, and so sometimes they'll be a little slow. Has anybody ever been slow yourself to do something, to obey? Has God ever spoken to you to give money and you were slow to do it? You wanted to make sure it was God. Am I the only one that's been that dumb? Sure. And then you analyze it. You think, now, wait a minute here. All right, let's just analyze this. There's me, there's the devil, and there's God. Now, let's talk about the devil. Does he ever want you to bless people? No. Does your flesh always want to bless people? Not always. Wow. So, If you're hearing this voice, I want you to sow $1,000 to somebody. How many know we can automatically pretty much guarantee that's probably not the devil, right? Yeah. And we know pretty much it's probably not you. I said probably. Don't get mad. But, you know, I don't just go around thinking, oh, my gosh, I just can't wait to give somebody $1,000. I might go around saying, I can't wait till somebody gives me $1,000. So when you hear those things, it's really pretty easy to discern that this must be God. And I've told you my story before. The Lord dealt with me to give this guy, it might have been a couple, I can't remember now, to give them some money. And I think it might have been about $1,000 that he dealt with me to give them. Which is, you know, that's a good sized number for me. I don't know about you, but, you know, I'll take it every day, right? Amen. And so, but, you know, I thought, well, I'm going to kind of do some investigating and see if they need it. And so I tried to do a little snooping for about a week. You know, just listen around, you know. If they're talking to somebody in church, get up close and hear if they're saying anything about, you know, a need or something. Come on, don't look at, I'm telling the truth, I did this. Not maybe not that bad, don't misunderstand me, but I was kind of just like, I wonder if they really need it. You know, it hit me after a week. Finally, I think God got through to me that it doesn't matter whether they need it or not. If I told you to do it, it doesn't matter if it's Bill Gates. Right? And I know he doesn't need it, but maybe he just needs the blessing. Maybe he just needs to know somebody loves him. Hallelujah. I love everybody gives me money, don't you? All right. Y'all feel real, real religious tonight. Oh. Go to Hebrews 11. Did you get something tonight? Hebrews 11. This is it. See, that's what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about, you know, when he talked about the sower sowing the word. How many remember that parable, Mark chapter 4? The sower sows the word. Y'all remember that? You know, one of the scenarios he talked about was, these are they which are sown on stony ground, such as, you know, hear the word and they immediately receive it with gladness, but they don't have any root in themselves. And so they endure but for a time. Then we stick with it for a little bit. Afterward, when persecution or affliction arises because of the word's sake, immediately they're offended, the King James says, or they stumble, the New King James says. What does that mean? What is he saying? He's saying, well, there are certain types of people that when they receive the word, they don't reject it. They're happy to hear it. They accept it. It brings joy to their life. But when the manifestation doesn't come immediately, it doesn't come overnight, then they get offended. They get offended. There are people offended at God tonight. There are people that are offended at me tonight. Really? I had a woman write me years ago, and she, you know, I don't know what happened. I don't know what went wrong, but she wrote me a nice little letter, a nasty little letter. I don't remember. Phyllis might remember what all it said. I don't remember now. But basically she said, you boys are going to pay me back. And she said, Mark Pearl, you are the number one that's going to pay me back. And I thought, well, I don't know that I borrowed anything off of you, sister. But what happened was, you know, she didn't believe, she believed what we preached, but because something didn't happen immediately, she got offended at us. And I don't know who the other preachers were, but I was the number one culprit. That's what she said. And as far as I know, I've never paid her back yet. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? That's a classic case that she heard the word, she received it with gladness. She was happy about what she heard, but because she put it to practice in her life and it didn't manifest overnight, she got offended because manifestation didn't come immediately. Well, you know, if she'd have just listened, I'm sure somewhere along the line, I probably told her that. But, you know, sometimes we have selective hearing. Have you ever had your kids just pick and choose what they want to hear? Only selective. Well, I didn't hear that, Dad. Well, how come you heard the other part about, you know, I'm going to take you to Taco Bell? Well, I heard that part. I didn't hear the part about straightening up my room. Yeah. Oh, you went deaf during that part. All of a sudden, you know, you need healing. Be opened in Jesus' name, ears. No, he's selective. I mean, it's selective, right? Now, all right, Hebrews 11, you got it? verse 1, this is a real familiar verse to us. Now, everybody say now. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. See, faith, it gives substance to things. And so as long as we're in faith, faith's out there working to bring it to pass. See, that's why the devil wants to get us out of faith, and he'll use time to get you out of faith. He'll use time. And people give up because of time. And when they do that, what happens is faith's no longer out there working. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. It gives evidence to things that aren't seen. It brings the unseen things into the seen realm. It brings the things that aren't a reality into a reality. Faith causes impossible things to become possible. And so the devil knows he has to get you to stop your faith or else the manifestation is going to come. So he'll fight your faith, and he'll do it if he can just hold something up. Once again, remember now, Paul said, the devil, I would have come to you, but Satan hindered me. Didn't he say that? Well, all right, once again, we're not saying that he has all power. He doesn't. We have the power, right? But he still has the ability to hinder. He still has the ability to be an opponent. He still has the ability to stand against you. There's a day coming when he's not, but right now he does. I'll be glad when the day comes that he gets kicked into hell. How about you? But that day's not yet. And so he still, remember he told, the Lord said, where you been? He said, I've been going, remember in Job, the Lord said, where you been, Satan? He said, I've been going to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it. Didn't he say that? That's the Old Testament, right? What about the New Testament? What did Peter say? The devil walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's doing the same thing in the New Testament he was doing back in Job's days. He hadn't changed his tactics. One of the things he gets people with, believers, is time. Because it didn't manifest immediately. It's like, well, okay, I guess it's not coming to pass. And when you do that, you draw your faith back, and the whole thing stops. We don't want to do that, right? We don't want to have to start the process over and over and over again. Amen? We want to just stay put. See that's why the Bible tells us that we're to hold fast to our confession. You know, faith has a language all on its own. How many know that? You know that you go to a foreign country, you know, they got their own language, you know. I mean, you know, it just gets to me that when I go to a foreign country, they don't have the decency to speak English. But it's just amazing how rude people are. And so you go over there, you know, and you got the barriers, right? Because you can't communicate. And I've always noticed this. I noticed it with me that when I can't communicate with somebody and I'm trying to communicate, I think if I just say it louder, that they'll get it, you know. But, you know, if they don't get it in a normal tone, they don't get it loud. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I've had those barriers, you know, where you're trying to communicate and get things. And that's the way it is with a lot of Christians. They don't understand the language of faith, and it's like it's a foreign language to them. It's just a little bit that we've said tonight. You know, there are believers in our city. If they were sitting here tonight, they'd leave thinking, I didn't get a thing. I don't, what in the world? That's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. Because they don't know the language. But to us, it makes total sense. See, are you with me now? And you know, you have an ear to hear faith, right? Are you with me now? It's amazing how quickly mothers know what their kids are saying. To us, it was gibberish, but they got it. I remember when Camden, you know, he's big now, like 6'2". But I remember when he was about that tall, you know, and one time I was in my office and Michelle comes in there with him, you know, and he can't talk yet. And he goes, "Hum." And I went, "Hum, hum." And he went, "Hum, hum, hum." And I went, "Hum." I told Michelle, I said, "That's just guy talk. We know what we're saying. That means I'm hungry. Let's go to Taco Bell." Uh-huh. You know, faith is that way. Faith, it has a language all on its own. It speaks a different language. And when you're a faith person, some people even in the church don't understand you. They think you're a nut. But that's all right. When the manifestation comes, they'll probably be calling you to say, how'd that happen? Hallelujah. I'd rather speak God's language and be understood by Him than to come down on a level and speak somebody else's language and be understood by them. Because God understands faith. The spirit realm understands the faith. The devil, he knows when faith's been spoken. Let me close with this story, okay? This is it. Y'all ready? I was at a men's meeting 1 year ago, and I was preaching. There was several of us preachers that were preaching at this meeting, you know, and it was like an all-day deal. It might have been a two-day deal. I can't remember now. But I think it was a two-day deal. And, you know, we had different speakers, and I was one of the speakers. And so it might have been on a Saturday. You know, we took off for lunch, and we were in this hotel. And so we went back into the cafeteria when they had a special place for us to eat, or the restaurant, that is. And we began to eat, and I began talking to people. And I'm talking to this one guy, and we began talking about things. And he begins to tell me about, you know, a paper that his daughter's doing in college. And it's on a lie detector that they had invented that could tell whether you're lying by the tone of your voice. You know how they have the, what's the thing they call now, the polygraph? Is that what it's called? But this thing here, the way it works is that you give your testimony, it records it, and the machine can tell by the tone of your voice whether you're lying. This guy was a really smart, brilliant guy. And so we're talking about this, you know, and he says what it is, he says, it's undetectable to the human ear. He says, but if you lie, he said, your voice has a different octave to it, a different pitch to it, undetectable by the human ear, but this thing can pick it up. And he said, it's very, very accurate. He said, it works more accurate than the polygraph, but he said, the only time it doesn't work is if you tell something a lie enough that you start to believe it. Amen. You know, some of those stories you've been telling the grandchildren for 30 years, that they were way off after 10. But now you're convinced. It's not the truth, but, you know, they really think you're something else. Your exploits. You know, I fought at Guadalcanal, you know, and I was in the Marines, and you know, come to find out, you know, you were a radio operator in Fort Benning, Georgia. But you believe it now. And so he said, this thing, if you tell a lie so long that you begin to believe it, he said, it won't pick that up. It only picks it up if you know it's a lie. I thought about that because I think I'd been preaching on redemption has a voice. That's how he and I got to talking about. And I thought about that. You know what? The devil can tell by our speech, by our voice, whether we believe it or not. I thought, if he knows we believe it, he'll do everything he can to try to block that manifestation. To get us to begin to speak the doubt language and stop the manifestation. That is good. Hallelujah. We got to learn, you know. The spirit realm is pretty keen, you know, whether it's demonic or whether it's angels. You know, the devil's not he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but don't take him for a total idiot either. I mean, anybody that thinks they can beat God obviously haven't got a lot going on. But still at the same time, he knows a lot about spiritual things. He just by virtue of being around long enough. Amen. I mean, I've lived long enough, you know, it's like Brother Hagin said, if you've lived so long, you stumble over some things. Your wife will teach you some things. You're bound to learn something. Well, the devil's that way. He knows some things spiritually, and he really knows when we believe and when we don't. He knows when to fight us and when not. So if you're really being fought, that may be because he really knows you believe it. Don't let time stop you. When the manifestation tarries, keep walking in faith.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.